Do you guys remember what, do you know who Matt Denyer is, right? You guys remember Matt Denyer? Who knows who Matt Denyer is? I remember he spoke a couple weeks ago. Do you guys remember him like teaching? Some of you guys remember. What did he talk to us about? Anybody remember? I'm testing you. What? Yeah, you're awesome. Going into the world, right? Go into the world and make disciples. Who remembers what making disciples is? What is a disciple? Miss Armbruster. Someone who spreads the word of God, that's part of it, and follows God. Yes, absolutely. What else?
Someone who knows the Lord and makes the Lord known.
Are you reading it from somewhere? Yeah, because it's posted all over Firehouse on those little like square pieces of paper, right? What a disciple is. Who knows God, makes him known, and one other. You got two of them.
And owns
that faith, yeah, for themselves. So Matt's like, hey, we need to go into the world. We need to make disciples. And you guys are like, how do you make a disciple? All right. Judah Smith was the guy in that video last week. You guys remember the video? He talked about his wife being preggers and he was like, what's going on? And like, he was a nuts, crazy dude. But he taught us something awesome last week, and he talked about one main thing. Do you guys remember what the big deal was that he talked about last week? Being born again. What else? What did he say? I want to see if big long introductions actually work, but apparently they don't look like they do. So if you remember, then introductions are good. Anybody? You're really close. You remember? Being in Christ. Being in Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? And he said that you like give up your whole identity when you believe in Jesus. You become a brand new person. Look, you're found in Christ. God looks at you and he doesn't see sin in your life anymore. He can't see it. He's like, I don't see that. What does he see if you believe in Jesus? Jesus. Because you're inside of Jesus. So his blood covers you. Your identity becomes his own child. So when God looks at you, he's not mad. He's not like, you're such a dirty sinner. He's like, I love you. You're my child. And it totally changes your life. So tonight, we're going to kind of build on those two messages, those two like truths that we've learned over the last couple weeks. And we're going to take it one step further. Because Matt said, hey, go make disciples. And Judah said, when you're in, you have to be in Christ to be a disciple. So as you believe in Jesus and you become what Jesus has designed for you to be, all of a sudden, that puts you somewhere. And you're like, what? It puts me somewhere? Like, where does it put me? And that's what we're going to study tonight. Where do you belong? All right, so how many of you guys remember a little bit ago there was a big lottery, like a big lottery in Florida, and people were going crazy. The Powerball mega billion thing or whatever it's called. You remember that?
It was like the $1.6 billion.
Yeah. I don't know how much it was. I don't remember, but I know it was like, was it over ever $1 billion? It was over $1 billion. And so I remember like going to get gas at 7-Eleven and I'm like filling up and I'm seeing people like running like in and out of stuff. Like, what are these people, crazy people doing? There's this huge line in 7-Eleven and I'm thinking, dude, I'm getting a Slurpee. There must be a good Slurpee flavor today. How long? And they're not buying Slurpees. They're buying lottery tickets for this thing. And it's all over the news and people are going crazy. Now, what would you spend $1 billion on? Have you thought of it? You couldn't? Do you have some stuff you could spend $1 billion on? Like, I know it, a country. You've probably made some lists. You've probably thought about it. So you're still thinking about it. Now, here's the deal. What if you were old enough and it wasn't like against your beliefs to buy a ticket and you were waiting and you're sitting there and you're waiting for your number to come up and the guy's calling the number, the first one, pop. And you're looking, and you're like, I got that one. I got that one right there. And then pop, another one comes up, and you're like, I got that one too. You know, I don't even know how many there are, but so they start coming up, and you're like sitting at the edge of like your couch, just watching the TV, and you're like, this might be my number. I'm going to be a billionaire in like 5 seconds. And you're like waiting, and you're thinking of all the awesome stuff you're going to buy, boats and dogs and dogs, right? Because I love dogs, monkeys and zebras and all these awesome things you're going to have running around your backyard. It's great. So you're chilling, and you're waiting, and you can't stand the waiting because you're like, my number's about to come up, and that dude's going to call my ticket, and I'm going to be the one that walks in and gets this thing. And so there are literally I don't know, I shouldn't say literally. I'm guessing there were like thousands, if not like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people across our country that were buying those tickets. All sitting, probably millions, sitting on their couch waiting to be called to be able to go like redeem the $1 billion. And at the same moment, they're all sitting there, they're all watching the same TV, they're all just as excited, and then nobody won. The first time. Nobody won. Not one person won that thing. So it rolls over, and what happens? All that money plunks into another pot, and it becomes even bigger. So now everybody's like, oh, I'm definitely playing this time. So then people go out and buy more tickets. And then they're sitting there again, and they're waiting, and they're waiting. And they just want their number to be called so that they can win this awesome reward. And tonight what we're going to talk about, when we talk about disciples and being in Christ and all these things, when you're in Christ, you're put somewhere. You're kind of like something awesome happens to you as you were found in Christ when you trust and believe in Him. And I want to tell you a Greek word that sounds really awesome. So you're going to want to say it all the time and tell people about it just because it's a cool sounding word. All right? Ekklesia. Can you say that? Ekklesia. All right. Who thinks they know what ekklesia means? Does anybody know? It's super smart. Close. No, but that is pretty close. Brent? What? Fusions? No. No, no. Don't cheat off this because it's not going to help you. It is the word for church. All right? There you go. Iglesia in Spanish. Ecclesia in Greek. So, this word ecclesia has two parts, right? Check it out. The first two letters right there, that's Greek up here. And it looks pretty much like English almost. It sounds almost the same. Ecclesia. That EK right there, the ek means out of. You know, like exit. Out of. And ecclesia means to call, from a word in Greek called kaleo. To call. See, that's a really hard one. So it really means a group of people who are called out. Yeah, what? I'm called out? Do you know that if you are part of the church, if you believe in Jesus and you're found in Him, God looks at you and He calls you out. It's almost like we're sitting there and we got our ticket and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're like, I can't wait for it to be the one, but you're not going to just win $1 billion. You're not like waiting for some like monetary amount. You're waiting for the God of all creation to call your name and tell you you've won a reward you can't imagine. It's beyond your comprehension. God Himself, who built stars and put this earth together and made things that blow your mind, wants to call you. He's calling you. And you get a reward that you can never comprehend. It's so big and awesome. And so He says, as I call these people out, as you believe in Jesus, I'm calling you out to follow Me and to be with Me. And I want to make you My child. You're not My enemy anymore. You're literally My child. You inherit My inheritance. Imagine the one who owns everything there is to own, and you get to inherit that. It's like, what? Like, you might have a rich granddaddy right now. That's cool. But God has way more. He has salvation. He has eternal life. He has everything there is to have. You are perfect as you're joined with God in ways you can't even believe. And He's calling your number. Way better than a lottery. He wants you to be part of His church, which means that you are called out from sin and from the world and from this life that breaks all around us that's not going to last very long. And He's calling you into something eternal, a relationship with Him. That's what church means. You believe in Jesus, you're found in Him, and He calls you out from that life into something eternal and incredible. And as you sit around, you guys, if you're a believer here tonight, you guys are the church. If you're not a believer, you're not part of that church. But if you are, you're part of this called out group, the family of God Himself, to inherit all that God has. Him, His whole self He's giving you. That's pretty awesome. And so tonight, we're going to start a series called, thank you, Building the Body of Christ, right? It's called out, Ecclesia. And we're going to study what the church is. What does that mean that I'm part of a church? Why do mom and dad make me go to a church on Sunday morning? Why do I show up to Firehouse on a Wednesday night? Like, do we just do it to hang out with other people that are our age that we know? Part of it, yeah. But it's much bigger than that. And so we're going to study what this means to be part of a church. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. It's going to show up there for a second. So you guys, it might not actually. I don't know if I gave it to Manny. But you can look it up if you want. It says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, for all were made to drink of one spirit. So how do you get into the body of Christ? Like, what's the winning ticket? What's the deal where God's going to be like, I'm calling you? How do you do it? Did you hear that verse? What did he say there in 1 Corinthians? What's the key? Any guesses? Let me read it again. Go ahead. Accept Christ. It says, all were made to drink of one spirit. You know, the Spirit of God himself, as you trust in Jesus, God's Spirit lives in you. That's the ticket. We are part of the church when we have the Spirit of God within us, living inside of us. And you become ecclesia. You become a called out one for the church. All right. So the passage we're going to look at tonight, if you guys want to open up there, if you need a Bible, they're back there. Otherwise, you can look on the screen. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to check out the church real quick tonight. Just do a quick overview so we can kind of understand what is this thing that I'm called out to. All right. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 16. You guys got phones. You can use those. Get on there. Figure it out. Get like Bible Gateway or Logos or one of those cool Bible apps and Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says this, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a mouthful right there. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, so here he gives us this awesome description of the church. He like basically steps back and says, this is what the church is. You ready? Because you're a part of it, you should probably know what it is. Don't join something that you don't know what it is. Bad idea, all right? You can end up in a crazy place. Make sure you know what you're a part of. You're sitting here tonight, you're in a church, why are you here? What is this? Right? What if I'm like telling people to like go like beat each other with like tennis rackets and stuff and like they're like, this crazy dude, what? What did I just join? Know where you are. And I'm gonna tell you where you are here. What we believe this is why you're here tonight. So when you leave and someone's like, why do you go to that Firehouse place? Is it like a cult up in there, like drinking weird Kool-Aid? Like what's going on? You're like, no, it's the church. We're called out by Jesus. We believe in Christ, and this is what the church is. So let's look at it. He says, and he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. You know who those guys are? Leaders of the church. Not you, but soon you, hopefully, some of you. All right, right now me, I'm one of those. Your leaders act as some of those. And look at what they are real quick. The apostles. Anybody know what an apostle is? What does an apostle do? Some guys that we call apostles, Paul. He's an apostle. Yeah. They're definitely followers of Jesus. And what do? Yeah, they plant churches. They go out and they're basically missionaries and church planters. They plant churches, get them started. He gave us prophets. Wait, what's a prophet? You guys remember what any of the prophets did in the Bible? What? They prophesied? Yes, they did. What? But what was the point? Like, what would they do? They'd warn people. Yeah, like, you have sin, you need to get rid of it because God's going to get really angry, right? Like, this is wrong, it needs to get fixed, you need to repent. That was the job of a prophet. So, like, people are doing something wrong, that guy would show up and be like, this is what God says, you need to quit it. All right? Evangelists. You guys heard that word before, right? What's an evangelist? It shares the gospel. It goes out and tells people who Jesus is so they can get saved. And then it says shepherds and teachers, which a lot of people, when you look at the language here, I think it's kind of one, a shepherd teacher. What is a shepherd teacher? It's somebody who would like stand up and teach a crowd and care about them and check up with them throughout the week and make sure they're living for Christ. Somebody who like preaches a message every single week. Yeah, like I'm a shepherd teacher. I'm one of those guys who gets up and wants to teach other people so that they can learn more about Jesus and get closer to Him. And so the church was given these different types of people to help do something. And He's going to tell us what they're helping to do. It's cool that He says, and He gave. Like, Jesus is the one who gave these, like, type of guys to the church. So we don't all just get together and go, hey, let's just play boggy pong. And then when we get done, like, we'll know how to, like, praise Jesus. Like, boggy pong will help us do that. Right? It's like, what? No, that's not going to help you. You need people that are gifted by me and empowered by the Holy Spirit who can study the Word and teach you what I'm saying so that we're not just coming to play boggy pong and eat cool food and hang out and play games. That's all awesome and part of it. But the heart of why we come is so that we can look into God's Word and He can talk to us. And He can teach us where our life should be going and how we can be closer to Him. And so these guys were all given to the church for different reasons to teach us. So that we can learn how to like follow Christ. And we don't have to wait for that. We're not in some waiting room. Have you ever played like online like Call of Duty or something like that? Like, doesn't it annoy you where you're like in the waiting room part? Like where you're waiting for the game to start. It's counting down and you're sitting there. Right? Oh, it's annoying to wait, but here's the cool part. The girls have no idea what we're talking about. Some of you do. Sorry, girls. It's just a cool thing. We'll have to play with us sometime. But the point is, like, we don't like to wait. Jesus isn't saying, hey, I want you to wait around. Jesus is saying, I've given you these people. You're ready. Engage. Get involved with the church. Get involved with these things that are going to teach you more about me so you can grow closer to me. He's already equipped the church and they're ready to go. Look what he says next. This is what they're for. You ready? Verse 12. The next four words. To equip the saints. What does that mean? How do you equip a saint? What is a saint?
Armor of God.
Armor of God or something. Are saints like those crazy like old people in paintings that they hang around like church buildings and like they're really, they do miracles and stuff? Is that what a saint is? Like, what's a saint? What's he talking about? A believer. Someone who truly believes in Jesus Christ. So guess what? If you believe in Jesus, you're a saint. You can go home to your mom and dad tonight and be like, no, I didn't clean my room, but I'm a saint. Rob told me so, all right? You're a saint if you believe in Jesus, all right? And so what it's saying here is that these men were given to the church to equip you as a believer in Christ. Okay, so we almost understand that whole thing, but what does equip mean? Like, what are they doing? Huh? Huh? Preparing? That's a cool word. What else? What are they doing when they equip you? That's such a crazy word, isn't it? Another word that's used here that equip means is mature. To mature you. So y'all need some mature, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But this is a maturing of your faith. So, if you come here tonight and you're like, man, I'm just not totally sure about this whole Jesus thing. You know what my job is tonight?
Teach us about Jesus.
Yeah. To pray like crazy and hope that God teaches us something through His Word that's going to help your faith grow so that you can walk out going, man, I do believe in Jesus. I really do. And I want it to change my life. I'm not doubting it right now. Like, I believe in Christ. And every time you come back into a group like this, that your faith would grow more and more and more. And it's cool to build relationships, that's part of it. But hopefully those relationships themselves, this thing called the church, as we get around each other, can be used so that we like leave here going, man, Jesus is so awesome. Like, I believe in Him. I want to be more like Him. And so these pastors and teachers and evangelists come together to equip the church, the saints, us, so that we can grow in our faith and trust Christ more and more and more as we study God's Word. and as we pray and talk to Him. So their job is to equip the saints. You know that that's why we have life groups. We could easily come here and just do this part and like sing and then go play dodgeball. We could do that. And a lot of people would probably like that a lot more, right? Because then there's no accountability. You don't have to have the awkward conversation of like your life and stuff like that. You could just come and chill and then leave and like we play dodgeball. That'd be sweet. But we'd be doing you a disservice because we're not actually like interested in your life if we do that. Like I get up here and I just preach at you and then say, go do it. But when you get to go to your life group, you get to actually talk with other believers and say, how can we encourage each other? How can we be called out together as the body of Jesus? How can I encourage you right now? Throughout the week, I hang out with you, dude, at school. So when I see you over there doing this and you look down, like I can come encourage you. And when I'm messing up, you can come call me out. You can be a prophet in my life. You see how that works? And so that's why we do life groups. We want you to be able to wrestle with God's word, but also grow together and not just hear me ramble all the time. Actually talk and grow with Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do something in you. So, he says to equip the saints, and this is why, for the work of the ministry. What do you think that is? What's the work of the ministry? What? Okay, the Word of God is part of it. We're going to study the Word of God so we can do something. We're going to do some work. And the type of work we're going to do... Whoa, I spit a bubble that was so big. The type of work we're going to do is the ministry. What is that? Part of it? Definitely. Teaching other people. What else? Serving other people. Ministry here actually is the word diakonia. What does that sound like? It's not English, you're right, it's Greek. What does that sound like? You know an English word like that we use in church a lot? Diakonia?
Deacon.
Deacon, what's a deacon do? Supposed to do. What? Serve, he serves. Deacons serve people, and so we're doing acts of service. So, pastors come in, they teach you guys, you grow together, and you grow in trust and so that you can go out and do what? Serve people. You got people who are hungry out there. You got people who don't know Jesus. You got people who are like broken and you got all sorts of people. And so the church was designed. God said, I'm going to grow you in your faith so you can go serve those people. So as you grow and trust Jesus, it shows up in you because now you're leaving this place and you're serving people. You're doing the work of service. And then the next part of why we do this is for building up the body of Christ. You're serving outside of this place, and you're also serving inside this place. So your life group is an awesome example. As you sit with some people that you meet with week after week after week, you're able to build up that group, the body of Christ in your group. As you guys hang out, as you guys talk, as you guys see each other at school or wherever else, as you pray for each other throughout the week, that's what the church does. That's what you've joined tonight. That's where you are. You're not in some weird cult drinking Kool-Aid. You're here because we're the body of Jesus. And as the body of Jesus, you guys should be building each other up. Now, does it say that the pastors build you guys up? Are the pastors the one building? So it says building the body of Christ. Who's building? Everybody. God's working through you and you and you and you and you and me. And he's building us up. He's building up the body of Christ. The pastors are teaching you how, but you're doing the work. We're all joining forces and saying, I care about this guy right here, and I care that he grows in his faith, so I'm going to build him up throughout the week.
Thank you.
You're welcome, bro. I hope you do the same for me. See how that works? And we build each other up as the body of Christ. Okay, awesome. So we got that. Look at verse 13 real quick, what he says here. Until he tells us like how far we're going to take it. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Stop there. What is unity of faith?
Together.
Unity is together, like we're going to come together in what? And become one? Okay, that's hard to think of, imagine in my head. But yes. Yes. How do I do it in the faith? What is this faith deal? Like we're unity, you're having unity of faith. So there's a specific thing. It's not just like Red Rover, Red Rover. Everybody join hands. Let's get united. Call them over now. You know, it's not like that deal. And someone tries to break through and like you join. No, this is different. This isn't just that type of unity. This is unity of the faith. Why does it say of the faith? What is this whole thing about? Faith in Jesus. My struggle in life, my goal in life, my desire for you and you and you, for all of you, because you're in this youth group and I love this youth group like crazy. And as a pastor of this youth group, my desire is that you guys love Jesus more. That you're united together because of loving Jesus more. And you help each other believe and trust, even when it's hard to trust Jesus sometimes and think bad things are happening in your life that make you doubt. You're able to come up alongside of each other and say, stay strong, He's real. Stay strong, He loves you. You're able to encourage each other and build each other up in the faith. Now sometimes when you get groups, especially of like junior high kids together, unity isn't quite the theme of the day. You know, it's like, they're like, you're not all quite getting along. But here's the thing, there's something bigger than any of our preferences or opinions or desires. It's called the faith of Jesus Christ. So if I believe in Jesus, and you guys believe in Jesus, we're able to say, let's stand together because we believe in the same King. I might like have different opinions from you, but Jesus has one opinion and we both believe that, so we can stand together under Him and move forward. And so this awesome unity happens when we have the same faith in Christ. So we want to keep building each other up until we get that goal of unity of faith and this, the knowledge of the Son of God. What does that mean? How do I have knowledge of the Son of God? And know Jesus? I want you to know Him. So I want you to know some facts about Him. If I were to like, who's Jesus? You could be like, well, He was born like 2,000 years ago, and He had a sweet beard, and like is that what... You're going to know about Him, a lot of stuff about Him? Or is it different than that? What is this knowledge of the Son of God He's talking about? Any ideas? That's a huge part of it. I looked into that word knowledge. And in this language, there's not the English, but the Greek language, there's these two different words for knowledge. One is a knowledge where you know stuff about things. But the other type of knowledge is this like relationship. Like I know. So if I were to say like, I know about Jesus, that'd be different from saying, I know Jesus like my friend. You hear the difference between those two things? Not just I can like list some stuff about Him. I know Him, I've met Him, I've experienced Him, He's my friend. And so what this is saying here is that He wants us to grow in our faith to the point where we intimately know Jesus one-on-one like He's our best friend. He's our Savior and our King and the one that loves us and saved us. And we help each other do that. And let me tell you, you're at a cool age because you guys have an awesome opportunity right now to make some choices that will help you avoid a whole lot of problems later on. Just kind of cut them like to the chase, like you can do this now. Because I get a lot of high school kids who are just a little older than you guys come in my office and they're like, I just can't keep believing. I can't keep doing this. I keep fighting against sin and it's the same one over and over and over. I'm just having these struggles, and I say, well, how are you fighting this thing? Well, I get alone, and stop right there. You get alone? Jesus didn't design the fight for us to be alone. That's why He called us out into a body, and He put us together, and He said, lift each other up in love. So I'm struggling. Okay, don't fight the fight alone. Get with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and together you work to grow. So when you're having trouble, your buddy comes alongside of you and says, let me help you with this. Let's read Scripture together. Let's pray together. Let's grow together in Christ. And so this thing called the church, and it's awesome because it puts us in some relationships that help us grow in the faith of who Jesus really is. All right? And He says, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Basically saying, I want you to be full grown. And He says in a second, I don't want you to be children anymore. I want you to be full grown in your faith. You might be 12 years old, but in your faith in Christ, my desire is that you will eventually be fully mature to totally trust in who Jesus is, that He loves you and that He died for you and that He's worth your whole life. And you guys help each other build each other up as the church to get there. I have this. I've told you guys that I go to Guatemala with some people, right? You know that. And that we work with some pastors. You've probably heard the name Jorge. Jorge was this pastor who is totally different from me. He's really tall, and I'm not. And he's really skinny, and I'm not. And he's really tan, and I'm not. And he's Kikchi, and I'm not. Like, we have so many differences. He grew up in a jungle, and I grew up in a city. You know, like, we're very different people. But when we're together, man, we sit down and we talk about Jesus and we pray together, and it's like he's my closest brother. Like, there's no difference between us at all. Because he's so excited about Christ, and I'm so excited about Christ. All of the differences between us, our skin color and our language and all of these other things, just disappear. Because we love the same God who saved both of us. And you just never know. Like, I had a teacher in college. My professor, he taught this, like, science class. And when he walked in, I thought it was a total joke. Like, he walks in, like, I thought he was a prankster, like one of those crazy guys pulling a prank on us. He's got this white lab coat on. He's got these huge, thick, like, black glasses on. And he talked like this the whole time. He's like, "Hello, class." And he's, like, pushing his glasses up. And, like, his notes are falling everywhere. He's dropping stuff. And he's like, "So today we're going to study." And he's like, totally. I'm like, this is a joke. This guy is hilarious. Until about 10 minutes into the class, and he's still doing it. And I'm like, wait a minute, this ain't a joke. Like, this is serious. That's actually how the dude is. And I felt so bad because I'm laughing. I'm like, this guy's awesome. And I'm like, wait, he ain't joking. Like, he's serious. And at first I'm thinking, this is the biggest, like, nerd I have ever met in my life. But as I got to know him as a teacher, I found out some really awesome stuff about this guy. Like, he had, like, been working on a cure for Alzheimer's, like, in rats, and, like, trying to cure, like, the world of these crazy diseases. He was one of the smartest guys I had ever met, and he was so passionate about people and helping people, and all I saw when he walked in was just, like, you know, that kind of nerdy exterior. But there was more to it than that. And when we look at each other, sometimes all we see is an exterior. Like, you're different from me. I want to see the differences in you. But the cool thing Jesus does is he wipes those differences away and says the most important thing about us is that you believe in Christ and so do I. And he unites us in this awesome faith and knowledge of who Jesus is. We come together and we become a body. And it's awesome. We see in verse 14, check it out. "So that we may no longer be children." So we can grow up. He doesn't want us, look what it says after that, "to be tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes." The world is throwing all sorts of stuff at you guys. Every time you sit down and you disappear in your phones and your devices and your computers and your iPads and everything else you do, you're seeing these things pop up at you. You're seeing these different sites. You're looking at YouTube videos. All of these different things are just pouring into your brains. And they're trying to convince you of certain things. They want you to believe certain things. And Jesus says, "I want you to know the truth. I don't want you to be tossed around like you're in the middle of a storm in the ocean and the waves are throwing you all over the place. I don't want that to be your life when it comes to knowing the truth. I believe this today. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to believe that. Oh, the next day I'm going to believe that. I don't know what I believe." He says, "I want you to be a part of a body, a church, where you have pastors who are pouring into you and teaching you, and leaders and other people who love you and will help you grow, so that you can stand up and say, throw whatever lies you want to at me. I know the truth. And I'm connected to a family who helps me know the truth of who Jesus is, and I believe it with all my heart." We're not children anymore. We're grown up in the faith. So that, look at verse 15, "rather speaking the truth in love." You see, it's awesome that we can speak the truth, but sometimes we feel like, now I've attained it. Like, I know the truth. So I'm going to walk around to everybody I know and I'm going to stick my finger right in their face. I always pick on you. I know the truth and you don't. You're wrong. And all of a sudden, we've lost the whole truth, because Jesus says that we're supposed to do what? Speak the truth in love. That there's a loving way that I say, man, I want to tell you the truth because I love you. Not because I'm mad at you or I hate you or I want to judge you, but I want your life to be good. I want you to know who Christ is. And so when I speak truth to you, I'm going to do it in a way that shows that I actually care about you and actually love you. That's the body of Christ. That's how we interact, because it's so easy for the body to be like judgmental or go to a friend and be like, did you see what so-and-so did the other day? Oh my goodness. You know? All of a sudden gossip starts. All of a sudden like people are talking about other people. But I'm okay. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just talking about the people that do stuff wrong. Well, you're wrong too because you're talking about them, right? All of a sudden, and he says there should be a unity of faith where you can speak truth and love to each other as Christ's body. Now check out what happens here. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head. So we're supposed to look more like Jesus as we grow into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped. Look at this next phrase. When each part is working properly. What if your mouth didn't work right and you're trying to eat? Like, have you ever gone to the dentist and they had to like numb you? And like you go back and they're like, here, take a drink of water. And you're like, blah, blah. And like water's all over your belly. And you're like, oh, I feel like, I don't know. Like, it's terrible. It's terrible. You're so embarrassed. You're like, my mouth isn't working. Your body doesn't work together. Things don't happen right. And so the analogy here that he's trying to tell us is that you guys are parts of the body. You're a hand, you're a foot, you're a mouth, you're a neck, you're a whatever you are. You all are made differently, have different personalities and gifts, and God's going to use you different. He might not make Dustin go stand on a stage and preach in front of thousands of people. It just might not be his thing. Well, maybe it is. But he might use Dustin to go do something else that's really awesome. Maybe he's awesome with like two or three people around him and just like pours into him and loves on. Like everybody's got something different. You're different parts of the body. When you are doing your job, working properly, like you can actually take the drink and it works. It doesn't pour out all over your shirt. But when you're not doing the job and you're the mouth, guess what you just did to the body? Oh no, I can't eat. I can't like get food in me because you're not doing your job. Or you're a foot and you're like, I'm not working today. Uh-oh. You know, that's going to make life tough for the day because you're not working properly. Love each other. Use the gifts that God's given you for the better of the people in your group. Go to your life groups. Enjoy your life groups. Be a part of that group of people and actually care about them. Be the body of Christ. So here's my question as I close. I just want to ask you this, because he says in the last phrase, if we are working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So my question is, are you doing your part? Do you know Jesus? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not part of this body yet, and we want you to be. God wants you to be. He's calling you out, but you have to respond to that and listen and say, God, I want to be a part of this. I want Jesus to save me. And if you've done that and you're a part already, are you doing your job? Are you being a good member of this body? Are you loving other people? Are you engaged? Are you helping other people grow? Because he has called all of us to be a part of this. So I hope you're doing your job. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much, God, and we thank you that you've called us. Even though we're sinful and we're messed up, God, you've looked and said, I want to fix that mess. I want to hide you in Christ and pull you out of the world and put you into my body. Lord, thank you for that. That I'm standing here with a group of people that a lot of them believe in you. I could call them family. That we're sitting here as a family together, that we can love one another. Help us do our job. Help us to be a good family, to really love each other well, and to build each other up. We love you so much, Christ. It's in your name we pray.